You are listening to The Life of Jesus Christ in a Year from the visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich from Tan. I'm Father Edward Looney, and each day I will be reading and offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the four-volume hardcover set of The Life of Jesus Christ and Biblical Revelations, available from Tan. Before we get to today's reading, though, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you were blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings, we graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins, be drawn more completely in a spiritual communion with Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We ask this in the name of the Most Holy Lamb of God, through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day number 225, and in this episode, we will continue reading from Volume 3. Today, we begin a new section of Volume 3, the raising of Lazarus and Jesus in the land of the three kinds. Today, we begin reading number 1, Jesus in Bethabara and Jericho, Zacchaeus and the publican. When Jesus and the apostles approached Bethabara on the Jordan, they found already assembled there an innumerable crowd of people. The whole country was full, and they were encamping under sheds and trees. Numbers of mothers with crowds of children of every age, even infants in the arms, were coming in procession. As they proceeded up the broad street to meet Jesus, the disciples who led the way wanted, on account of his great fatigue, for he had already blessed a great many, to repulse the women and children, and that even a little rudely. But Jesus checked them and bade them bring the crowd to order. On one side of the street stood in 5 long rows of children of all ages, one behind the other, the boys and girls apart, the latter being by far the more numerous. The mothers with infants in their arms were placed behind the 5th row. On the other side of the street stood the rest of the people, who passed in turn from the last rank to the first. Jesus now went down along the 1st row of the children, laying his hand on their head and blessing them. He laid his hand on the head of some, on the breast of others. Some he clasped to his breast, and some he held up as models to the others. He instructed them, exhorted them, encouraged them, and blessed them. When he had thus passed down one row of children, he crossed to the opposite side of the street and came up among the grown people, exhorting and instructing them, and even placing before them the example of some of the children. Then he went down the next row of children and came up as before, among the grown people whose front ranks had been replaced by those from behind. And so it went on until even the infants in the last row had received a loving caress and blessing. All the people blessed by Jesus received an interior grace and later on became Christians. Jesus must have blessed fully 1,000 children on this occasion, for the concourse continued during several days. He labored constantly, ever grave, mild, and gentle, with a certain secret sadness in his manner, very touching to see. He taught now along the streets, now in some house into which they had pulled him by his robe. He related many parables by which he instructed both the wise and the simple, and impressed upon the former the obligation of thankfully returning to God all that they had received from him, as he himself did. Of the holy women, Veronica, Martha, Magdalene, and Mary Salome were gone on to Jerusalem. I saw Mary Salome with her sons, John and James, the less, continuing to Jesus and requesting that they should be allowed to sit, one at his right and the other on his left. Messengers had been sent thither by the Pharisees in Jerusalem, but many of them being converted remained, while others, returning in a rage to Jerusalem, repented on the way and later on became Jesus' followers. Jesus left Bethabara with the apostles, and on his way, he was entreated to visit a house in which lay 10 lepers. The apostles, dreading contact with the leprous, went on ahead in a southerly direction, with the intention of waiting for Jesus under a tree. The lepers, enveloped in their mantles and full of sores, lay in a retired part of the house. Jesus commanded them to do something, and it seemed to me that he touched one of them and then left them. The lepers, one after another, were taken by two people to a little pool near the house and washed in the bathing tubs, after which they were able to present themselves to the priests as cured. Jesus next went through another building that had a four-cornered courtyard. On another side of the ladder was a covered archway, in one of which lay men sick and crippled, and in the other, afflicted women. The beds were laid in rows of hollow places, scooped out in the ground to receive them. Another covered way on the same line cut through the middle of the house and led to a space in which the cooking and washing were done. Between this middle walk and those in which the sick lay were grass plots. Jesus again cured several here. As he proceeded on his way, I saw following him one of the lately healed lepers proclaiming his praise. Jesus looked around and the man fell on his face, giving thanks. Further on the route, Jesus blessed many children who had been brought by their mothers to meet him. The road traveled by Jesus and the apostles on leaving Bethabara ran on the right past Macarius and the city of Madian. They again approached the Jordan, made a circuit of Bethabara, and went by roundabout ways through a desert region toward Jericho. As they proceeded on their journey, the disciples, who had been sent out on missions, returned to Jesus one after another and related to him all that they had done. He instructed them in parables, but I remember only these words of his discourse. They who say that they are chaste, but who eat and drink only what pleases their appetites, are like those that try to extinguish a fire with dry wood. Another parable referred to the future of the 12 apostles. Jesus said, "Now ye cling to me, because ye fare well." But they did not understand that by these words he meant the peace and beautiful instructions that they then enjoyed. "In the time of need," he continued, "ye will act otherwise. Even when they whom I carry about with me, like a mantle of love, will cast that mantle off and flee." These words referred to John in the Garden of Gethsemane. In a little town near the Jordan, I saw a woman entreating Jesus to cure her daughter, who was covered with ulcers. Jesus told her that he would send one of his disciples to her, but she wanted him to go to himself, which, however, he did not do. When he was drawing near to Jericho, the woman again approached and begged his aid. She urged that she had now renounced all that he had commanded her. Jesus, however, still repulsed her. Her child was the fruit of sin, and Jesus reproached her with a fault. It appeared to be but a small one, to which she had already clung for several years. He told her that she should not come again to him until she had freed herself from it. Then I saw the woman hurrying past the apostles and the disciples toward Jericho. Having almost reached the city, four Pharisees sent by their colleagues of Jerusalem came and warned him not to enter lest Herod would put him to death. This they did, however, not because they cared for him, but because having heard of his numerous miracles, they were afraid of him. Jesus replied that they should say to Herod, "The fox, these words only, behold, I cast out devils and do cures today and tomorrow. And the third day I am consummated." Luke 13:32. Two of the Pharisees were converted and followed Jesus, but the other two returned in a rage to Jerusalem. Then came to Jesus two brothers belonging to Jericho. They could not agree on the subject of their patrimony. One wanted to remain, the other desired to go away. One of them proposed that Jesus, so renowned everywhere, should divide the patrimony between them. They had in consequence come to meet him, but he refused, saying that it was not his business. And when even John remarked to him that it was a good work, and Peter seconded the word, Jesus replied that he was not come to distribute earthly goods, but only heavenly ones. After which he took occasion to deliver a long exhortation before the rapidly increasing crowd. But the disciples as yet did not always understand him rightly. They had not yet received the Holy Ghost, and so they went on expecting an earthly kingdom. Jesus was again met by crowds of women with their children, for whom they implored a blessing. The disciples, disturbed by the recent menaces of the Pharisees and desirous of shunning such excitement, tried to drive the women back, for they were entrusted with the duty of keeping order. But Jesus commanded them to allow the children to come forward. They needed his blessings. He said, in order that they too might become his disciples, then he blessed many of the infants at the breast and the children of 10 and 11 years. Some he did not bless, but later on these again presented themselves. Just outside the city, which was surrounded by gardens, pleasure grounds, and villas, Jesus and his followers encountered a dense crowd, composed of people from all parts of the country around. They had assembled with their sick, who were lying on litters under sheds and tents. They had been waiting for Jesus, and now they beset him and his disciples on all sides. Zacchaeus, one of the chief publicans, who dwelt outside the city, had stationed himself on the road by which Jesus had to pass. As he was short in stature, he climbed a fig tree in order to be able to see Jesus better in the crowd. Jesus looked up into the tree and said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for this day I must abide in thy house." Zacchaeus hurried down, bowed humbly to Jesus, and very much touched, returned home to make preparations for receiving his honored guest. When Jesus said that he must that day enter into Zacchaeus' house, he meant into his heart. For on that day he went into Jericho itself and not into the house of Zacchaeus. On arriving at the city gate, Jesus found none of the people assembled to welcome him, for through dread of the Pharisees, they were remaining quietly in their homes. The crowd gathered at some distances from the city and were all strangers who had come to implore Jesus' assistance in their various needs. He cured a blind man and a deaf mute, but some others he sent away. He blessed the children, especially the babes at the breast, and told the apostles that men must in this way be accustomed to devote their children from earliest youth to him, and that all thus blessed would follow him. Among those sent away was a woman afflicted with a flow of blood. She had come some days before with the firm resolve to implore Jesus for her cure. I heard Jesus saying to the disciples that whatever does not persevere in prayer is not in earnest and has no faith. As the Sabbath now began, Jesus went with his apostles and the disciples to the synagogue of the city, and afterward to the inn. He and the apostles dined in the open refectory, the disciples in the archway. The meal consisted of little rolls, honey, and fruit. They ate standing, Jesus meantime teaching and relating parables. Every three of the apostles drank from one cup, but Jesus had one to himself. The woman that had already been twice repulsed came again to Jesus imploring help for her daughter, but with no better success than before, because she was not sincere. She had been questioning among the Pharisees of Jericho about what was said of Jesus in Jerusalem. Zacchaeus also here presented himself to Jesus. The new disciples had already taken it ill outside the city that Jesus had accosted the ill-famed publican and even wanted to abide with him. For Zacchaeus in particular was a subject of scandal to them. Some were related to him, and they were ashamed of his remaining a publican, so long and up to the present unconverted. Zacchaeus drew near the hall in which the disciples were dining, but no one wanted to have anything to do with him. No one invited him to eat. Then Jesus stepped out into the hall, beckoned Zacchaeus in, and offered him food and drink. This concludes our reading for today, and now we reflect on what we have just listened to, what we have just read. I thought this line in the very beginning of our reading today, these few lines, they're very poetic, but it really expresses, I think, what we wish for the Lord to do for us. He clasped to his breast, and some he held up as models to the others. He instructed them, exhorted them, encouraged them, and blessed them. Well, that's what we want the Lord to do for us, encourage us and bless us, to instruct and exhort us as we hear in the scriptures. Jesus does bless them, and it says that all the children blessed by Jesus received an interior grace and later on became Christians. Does Jesus still bless people today? I hope you thought yes. You know how Jesus blesses people today? Every time at benediction at the altar, when the monstrance is raised, and the priest with the humeral veil blesses the people. Jesus blessing the people today. It's Jesus who anoints through the priest. So we can still receive an interior grace being blessed by Jesus. You know what I think is probably the most profound thing here is that sometimes Jesus gives us a grace. And we don't even realize it. We only realize it when the Lord makes us and reveals it to us. Some of these people received a grace in that moment that Jesus blessed them, and they would unpack that grace years later, the fruit of that grace. I love the story of Zacchaeus. I have a great love for a lot of the stories of the Gospels, but, you know, one of them is Bartimaeus. Love the story of Bartimaeus. Love the story of Zacchaeus. As a priest, these two Gospel readings produce some of the best of my homilies, I think. But Zacchaeus, come, stay at my home. Really, what the Lord wanted to do was purify his heart, as we heard. Come stay at my home, and Jesus comes and he does the cleaning. He does the house cleaning. And that metaphor. There was this woman who was coming and begging for a healing for a child in her life. And it says she had come some days before with the firm resolve to implore Jesus for her cure. Well, you better have a firm resolve anytime you approach the Lord. Seems like that's what the Lord wants from us, a firm resolve. But it says that there was no better success than before because she was not sincere. So when we approach the Lord, are we sincere in our requests? Lord, this is what I want you to do. I believe you can do it. Sincerity. Maybe what we're lacking is a firm resolve and sincerity when we approach the Lord with our petitions. This brings us to a close of our reading and reflection for today. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emmerichpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. Please share this podcast with others. Share it with your family. Text it to your friends. Send a message out to your prayer group. Let them know you're listening and encourage them to join you so that you can have holy conversations with them about these writings of Anne Catherine Emmerich. I hope you'll join us next time as we continue meditating on the life of Jesus Christ with the help of Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. Until then, may God bless you. And Mary pray for you.